One of my favourite TV shows, which is probably the dreadful way to start off a Sunday morning message, but it sets the theme, was a show called Upstairs Downstairs, that some of you may have watched since it's been on twice, once recently and once about 10 years ago. And I found one of the interesting things about it, apart from the beautiful sets and the lovely locations of London and the clothes and just the whole picture of that period, I think the thing that made it interesting and that made it such a success was that it portrayed the relationships between those downstairs and those upstairs, between the servants and those who ran the household and employed the servants. Now, and in many instances, you had the subtleties of the relationship providing the character development and the interest in the story about how would this servant handle this. And in fact, you had pecking orders within the servants so that the cook and the butler were higher than the poor scullery maid or the lower kitchen maid who got all the dirty jobs. So thinking about servants and our attitude to, and the term used to be going into service, which was a term used probably up until the 20s or 30s when people went into someone's employ as a servant, started me thinking about servants and service. Well, it started me thinking about servants and service because I've just undertaken within the last 2 weeks, the role of the servant to you all. I had my first elders meeting the other Monday night, and it made me think about what my service to you will be and what your service to each other should be like. So I'd like to start with looking at some verses in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and starting at verse 43. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister or servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. We just pray. We thank you, Father, that you'll open this word to our hearts, that we will learn from it this morning, and that you will guide us in all that we do. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Not to be served, but to serve. These are Christ's own words. They're also found in Matthew 20:28. They're his words that he said. It's also his own example. He came to serve. He didn't pass the buck to somebody else. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. It's his own plan for his disciples, because they've been having a great big argument about who was going to get the best seats when the Lord came into his glory. Because James and John caused a great dispute, medium dispute, amongst the disciples, because they wanted to be with Jesus, but they saw, again, a hierarchy, that those closest to the Lord, of course, were the most favoured. In Jewish tradition, if you sat down at a table, then the favoured ones sat near you. Now, this has upset the disciples enormously. And this is why the Lord answered them by saying that those who wanted to be the chiefest had to be the servant of all. So it was his plan for his disciples to be servants. It was also not only his own words and his own example and his own plan, but it was his own obedience. Because Christ is doing the Father's will. In John 6 it says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now we prayed this morning about that, about the Lord coming to do his will. It was mentioned this morning in our service. But the service was, I see it two ways. The service wasn't only to mankind, which is a service we think about, perhaps that comes first to our minds here, when he said he came not to be served but to serve. But the service was also to his Father in heaven, because he was doing his will. Not his own will, he was doing the Father's will. So the service actually went both ways. It went out to mankind, it went up to his Father. So, not only were that his own words and his own example and his own plan for his disciples, they were his own lesson in obedience, which I think is an important thing for us to remember. Now, that started thinking, made me think about, what do you have to be a servant? Do you have to go around with a wing collar and a black bow tie and bow and scrape? And do you have to do everything that somebody wants you to do? Do you have to adjust your behaviour? Do you have to modify what you do and what you say? How much of yourself do you give? How do you characterise your service? What is it that characterises a servant? You have to serve God, and you have to serve him with fear. It says in Psalm 2, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." I remember once doing a Sunday morning message on the fear of the Lord. Perhaps I can tell you this now. My brother asked me to give that message about 3 months beforehand. I then said to him, about 3 or 4 weeks later, "I'm sorry, because of school commitments and things like that, I'm not sure that I'll be able to do that." Unfortunately, the message didn't get to him. I arrived that Sunday morning just to hear Brother Jack saying, "And welcome our Sunday morning meeting, and we welcome our speaker this morning, Mr. Roger Keynes." And I tell you, the fear of the Lord is very strong when you suddenly find that, unbeknownst to you, you are giving the Sunday morning message. And I sat up the back, and thanks to God's will and God's provision and God's leading, I gave a message on the fear of the Lord. Now, that's a little aside, but how much of our service is characterised by that fear and trembling, that knowing who we serve? Who do we serve? We serve God, the mighty God. And when you think of how great he is, and how lowly we are, how much should that characterise our attitude of service? Forget about what we do, forget about how we do it, just our attitude. That's how we should be serving. Think of this: if you were serving, asked to serve, say you're asked to be a waiter at the table for the Queen. Queen comes to Australia, you're asked to serve at the table, or get a flowers ready or something. Think of how much that would affect your nerves. I mean, I couldn't handle it. And some people would go to pieces. I probably would. Now you're serving the King of Kings. How much? We should serve him with fear and rejoice in that trembling, knowing who we serve. We're also meant as a servant to walk uprightly. In Psalm 101 it says we have to walk perfect in the way. And if we do so, we shall serve him. We shall serve God. His way. His direction. His path. He has a path chosen for us. We have to find his will and follow that path. Because if we want to serve him, we have to find out what he wants from us. What does he want us to do? Not what we would like to do, what he wants us to do in his will. And in our service, do we give all of ourselves? The answer is yes. No man can serve two masters. He cannot serve God and mammon. We must be loyal to God, and our loyalty must be absolute. Now, In the old days, if you weren't loyal to the king, off with your head. They didn't muck around. Fortunately, justice isn't so swift and brutal these days. But those people knew that that king had absolute control over them. He had their life in his hands. And they served him with fear and trembling. And they wanted to do his will. Is our loyalty to God that strong that we serve nothing else before him? Do we serve him first? Our service should be to God. Now, here comes a little tricky bit. It's what I call the Franklin service. It's sort of self-serve. Right? You go into Franklin's, you help yourself. You serve yourself. Right? Sometimes perhaps our service can be self-service. Because even though we're doing something good, what are our motives? Is our loyalty to God first, or is our loyalty to building up our own stature within the community? Are we trying to earn the approval of men or the approval of God? Because even then, whatever we do, even when we're doing the right thing, because we're not loyal to him, because we're not serving him first, our service is tainted. Because we're trying to get something out of it. We're putting something else before him. We're trying to serve so that we get the approval of men. Which brings me to the point of our service. What spirit do we do it in? It comes back to our attitude, to our loyalty. In Romans it says we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Do we do things out of obligation because we think we should do it? Or if we don't do it, people might think, oh gee, bit of backsliding going on there. You know, what's happening with that person? You know, they're not doing what they used to be doing. Do we do things because of what people will think? Or do we do things because we want to serve God? Do we serve in the joy of the Spirit? What's our motivation? What motivates us to do what we do for the Lord? Now, one of the things, I won't say strange, perhaps that's the wrong word. One of the joyous things I have found in the last 2 or 3 months is that I've actually wanted to go to the Tuesday night Bible study. I used to go sometimes in the past because I felt a sense of duty to go. As a consequence, I didn't go very often at all. Now I actually feel disappointed if I don't get there. I mean, I still don't go as regularly as I'd like to. I'm trying to get there once a fortnight. Perhaps that's not good enough. Perhaps I should try and get there every week. But just at this time of the year, that's my excuse. Perhaps it's a feeble one. But I try to get there once a fortnight. But if I don't go, I feel disappointed. And which is a bit of a strange thing for me to cope with, because I thought, yeah, duties, responsibilities, but I miss it. And that's because I feel the Spirit has changed my attitude, has shown me that I was doing something for the wrong reason before, whereas now I should be doing it for the right reason, because I want to serve the Lord, because I want to be in fellowship with him by being in fellowship with other believers. Now, that's given me a newness of spirit, but I'm not following the letter of the law. I'm doing it perhaps because I've been shown that I want to do it. Is our service to the Lord? Are we fervent in spirit serving the Lord? Do we serve him with humility? Now, our brother Jack spoke last week about Christ's service in Nazareth. Think that from the time you say 13 or 14, when I think young men in Jewish that time became a man, say from 13 up till 30, he served as a carpenter in Nazareth. He knew who he was. He knew he would have a life of public ministry. Yet for 17 years of his social majority, as opposed to 3 years of his public ministry, he served as a carpenter in a little backwater town. Now, we don't have to look any further than that for an example of humility. But I think the most important thing of service that transcends all of the other things, our attitude of how we do it, who we do it for, is, are we serving in love? Because if we're serving in love, we're serving God. If we're serving in love, we seek to do His will. If we're serving in love, we're loyal to Him. If we're serving with love and inspired by love and driven by love, then everything else, I think, will fall into place. It says in Galatians 5, by love serve one another. That's how we should serve. By love. Now, a bit hard for me not to talk about school since I'm a chalky, but here's another little aside. My principal has decided, or evolved, or whatever, his 10 keynote points of being a principal of a school. Two of them I want to bring to you this morning, and they're two sides of a coin. One is challenge, the other is comfort. Now, because I'm a little way up the administrative tree, I have other people that I'm responsible for. As a teaching professional, it is my responsibility not only to my children, but to those teachers within my care. I have to challenge them to develop professionally, that they can't just stay where they were last year. They have to grow in their career. But you can't challenge people without giving them a portion of comfort. Too much challenge, not enough comfort, people feel insecure. They start to worry. They think it's too hard for them, or too much is being asked for them. Too much comfort and not enough challenge, and you're not getting the best out of everybody. You're not getting the response that they are capable of. You're not leading them to grow and develop. Now that, I think, is applicable here for us at Caringbah. Challenge and comfort. How do we balance them? How do we work them in our Christian life? That's for you to decide. I have to be mindful of it, because although I don't feel any older, I'm an elder. And I have to realise that what I say to you, although I'm still a brother out here at the front giving the Lord's message to you, that perhaps what I say has more weight. I don't know, it's rather a new cap to wear, so I'm not sure. But I have to be aware that as my service as an elder, some of the things that I'm saying, hey, in the past, I haven't been doing all I could have been doing. I mean, I think the last Saturday morning working bee I went to was when they planted this. I don't want anyone to tell me how long that was ago. Right, but our service, we have to be mindful that we can give what we can. It says in Psalm 13, the ransom of a man's life are his riches. Now it says in Mark 10, the Lord gave his life a ransom for many. What do we ransom? What do we give? Now, we had a brother speak a few weeks ago on a Tuesday night about a fellow who was asked what he could give. And he was all right when it got to the money, but when he was asked to give his wife and his home and his car and his job, in fact, everything that he had, the chain started to rattle a bit. He started to balk at giving everything. Service might involve giving our money. It also might involve giving our time. It might also mean the use of our car. It might also mean our home. It might mean giving up time with our family that we'd rather spend with them. It might mean giving up things that we don't really want to give up, that we find hard to give up. But when we think what the Lord has given up, He's given up His life. Can we give any less? Now, it says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, Christ didn't save just half of you. He didn't save you, but not your resources. He didn't save your brain and leave your body out. He saved the whole man, the whole person. What he wants from you is the whole of you. But it's your reasonable service. He won't ask from you more than you can give, which is the balance. He will give you the strength that enables you to give more than you think you can give. We've all been saved, so therefore we've all been called to serve. We just have to find His will for our service. And we have to do it voluntarily. I don't want you to feel that I'm pushing you into something. But what I'm saying to you is, seek the Lord's will for what He wants you to do and be prepared to give as much as He has given. We won't be asked to do anything beyond what we can do, because He will give us the strength to give what He wants us to give. Reasonable service, not unreasonable service, reasonable service, and present all of us as a living sacrifice. Now, if you want to read this later, in the rest of that chapter of Romans, chapter 12, from verses 3 to 21, it gives some details of service, what you can do, from hospitality, visiting the sick, caring for those who are troubled, forgiving those who wrong you, providing for the needs of those who aren't Christians, to a whole range of things. And you'll find other instances in the New Testament, for example in James, where it says to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Right? There are many things you can do that are serving the Lord. Okay, the practicalities of it. What do you actually do when you get down to the nitty-gritty? Now, when I was rattling through the library at home, which is the grand title we give our little shelves of you name it, I found this. Now, I'd forgotten all about this, but it says in one of them, which is, it's actually our assembly register, and it says responsibilities of membership. Members are expected to demonstrate a commitment to the work of Christ by participation in and support of the activities of the church in reaching out to the unsaved world and in caring for those in need. Reaching out to the unsaved world and caring for those in need. Now, in caring for those in need, I assume that the need doesn't have to be out there in the unsaved world. There are many who are here in this fellowship who are in need. But we've got to demonstrate a commitment to it by participating in it, by supporting it, by reaching out. That's the practicalities of it. Reach out and care. That's our responsibilities if we are members of this fellowship. They're our responsibilities. We have to do them in love. Love is the great motivator and it's the great activator. It gives us the incentive and it gets us going. When Jesus is asked what is the great commandment, he said, honour the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, thy whole body and thy soul. And then he said, the second is like unto the first. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Do we love our neighbour as ourselves? We look after ourselves. Do we look after others just as well? How comfortable are we in our Christianity? I'm not, because I've got a coat on and I'm dreadfully hot at the moment. But how comfortable are we in our daily walk? How comfortable are we in the Father's will? How comfortable are we in the practical application of our Christianity, of our belief in Christ? Are we being challenged or are we comfortable? He's not going to give you one without a measure of the other. Because he knows us. He knows our frame. He knows how feeble we are. I wanted to finish off with a verse which has already been read this morning, which, to the praise of His glory, just leads me to believe that this is the message for today. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That always puzzled me. I mean, if you've already got a burden, what the heck do you want another one for? You want to put on another yoke and have an even heavier burden. You've got responsibilities, you've got problems. You're labouring, you're heavy laden. So why put on another yoke? In a yoke, there's always a team of two. And the other one who holds up the other side is the Lord. He's in the yoke with you. It's His yoke. And when He holds it up, He can hold it up however much you may need. He can even hold you up so that your feet don't even touch the ground. If your burdens are great, His power is greater. We've had this morning, nothing can separate us from His love. That's what holds us up. That's what empowers us. That's the strength of His yoke. Because His yoke is easy, because He's holding it up. And if we seek His will, He will make that burden light. That whatever we take upon Him, on ourselves to do in His name, in love for others, He will give us the strength to do. Now, Christmas is coming. It comes to that time of the year when we all make New Year's resolutions, great tradition amongst people. Maybe in the next 3 weeks, is that all that's left of this year? Maybe in the next 3 weeks, you'll think about the challenge of serving the Lord and what you can do to serve Him. Please don't feel that I'm talking about anyone or pointing at anyone in particular. You know where you are with the Lord. You know how much you serve the Lord. I'm continually amazed when I hear of people, little things they do that you never hear about otherwise. It just come up in conversation. You know, such and such did something. Somebody went somewhere and spoke to someone. This is a loving, caring group. But in terms of our practical Christianity, can we serve the Lord better? How much challenge do we need? How much comfort do we need? Because whatever we need, He can provide. His yoke is easy. It will bear us up in whatever we undertake to do. Let's pray that He'll give us that direction and that we will be open to His leading.